Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the CMI School of Christ. And we want to continue with our class, The Purpose for the Soul. And before we continue, I do just want to ask those two questions that I do like to ask all the time before every class. And that's basically because it is so necessary for the purpose of the soul. First of all, the new birth. And then second of all, the continuing and the appearing of Christ. The questions are basically this: are you born again? First question that must be answered in our own heart: are you born again? Am I born again? If not, I must be born again. This is, as we've covered, the beginning of purpose. Because life appears where there was no life before. Christ appears where Christ was not before. Okay? Then the next question is, if the person is born again, if the soul is born again, then the next question is, do you know the life that you've been birthed of? Do you know the life that you have received? Are you knowing the indwelling Christ, the Christ that is dwelling within your soul? And that only comes as he is revealed, as he appears, as the light of that very life that is within us. Now, I think we looked at that in Genesis chapter 1, and if not, we will be, but I think we did cover it. So those are just the two basic questions that I do like to answer, or excuse me, to ask, and to hopefully get a response from within our hearts, because it's not just good enough to breathe or to move around on this earth. No, we were created. The soul of man was created for a purpose. We must come into this purpose. New birth is the beginning of that purpose. And it is not just good enough to, as it were, enter in through the door and then sit at the entrance of the door. We must continue in that very purpose. We must walk in the light as he is in the light. We must walk in the day. We must continue in the appearing of Christ. Excuse me. And there's a couple things I just wanted to share that were on my heart. And we're going to be using this diagram right here. And I'm not sure if I've used it in this. I don't think I've used it in this class. But this is the abiding diagram. I and you, you and me, the vine branch relationship, the fellowship of life, the fellowship of the Father and the Son, the fellowship that we have been brought into via new birth, because of new birth. Excuse me. And I just did want to cover a couple of thoughts just concerning this and concerning the ones who are born again. Right? And this is, in the sight of God speak we in Christ. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. And we're going to be looking at some of the terms in verse 17 in a little more detail. But here's how it reads. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God. In the sight of God speak we in Christ. And here, this is 2 Corinthians, here Paul is just saying, there are so many out there which are corrupting the word of God, who are not truly sincere. Okay? Now you can be truly, sincerely wrong, just in the general sense of the term sincere, because Paul was sincerely wrong when he persecuted the church. When he was not born again, he wholeheartedly thought he was serving the Lord. He was sincere about it, but he was not according to the sincerity, the true sincerity of God, which is spoken of right here. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Okay? This is, back to our diagram, I just want to look real quick in Colossians, because this makes a whole lot of sense right here. Thinking of a couple of different passages also. Let's look at Colossians first. Colossians chapter 3. Since then, seeing then, ye be then risen with Christ, seek that which is above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on that which is above, not on that which is on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Going on. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Since you are risen with Christ, since your life is above, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. If you are born again, your life is Christ. Christ is your life. Your life, you can say, is risen, is above, because Christ is above. Christ is your life. He is above. Okay? We are to set our affection on that which is above. Another passage. Let me mark this one down so I don't forget it. It's the one I was thinking of. Okay? This is, I'm actually turning to a different passage, but this is Galatians 2:20, where Paul is saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, the vessel in the flesh, the vessel, here it is, here's the vessel, here's the treasure. Here's the treasure, here's the vessel. Treasure in the vessel. Nevertheless, I, the vessel, live, and yet not I who live, but Christ liveth in me. See, that's where the carnal religious mind cannot comprehend, cannot understand when a person says, Christ is my life and I am found in union with Christ. My life is above. My life is the resurrection himself, Christ. You know, the carnal mind cannot get a hold of that. They cannot understand that because they look with the natural faculties. No, I see you, you're right here. But Paul says we are citizens of heaven. We are citizens of the heavenly way. We are from Jerusalem, from above. Okay? The vessel is here. The vessel comes and goes. The soul is found in Christ. Christ is found in the soul, okay? We are found in union with him. I don't want to go too much into detail with that, but we'll just go ahead and, because this isn't the main part that I wanted us to look at, we'll just go ahead and look at John 15. I am the true vine. That means there are false vines, but Christ himself is the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he pruneth, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Here it is. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. And we look at verse 4 where it says, abide in me and I in you. And we have this concept, and I covered this in a different class. I can't think of the name of the class. Or maybe it was a Sunday service. But we have this concept, abide in me and I in you. We think the abiding life. I need to abide in Jesus so he can abide in me. And that is not so. That is the religious carnal mind thinking that we need to do something so that God can respond. Well, the Lord hath done all things in his cross once and for all. We respond as we behold, as we become aware of that which is done. the one who remains, Christ himself. Okay, so then it's right here. There's a better translation, and I found it. I think it's the English Bible, something like that. I'm not sure. I didn't actually look it up for this class. But here's the way the translation reads, and here's the proper translation. Continue in me as I am continuing in you. Okay? Because of the fact that I abide in you and am in you, that I continue in you, you therefore in your heart continue in me. Why? Because it's the heart that turns one direction or the other. It's the heart that the Lord calls us to turn back unto him. It's the heart that the Lord deals with, that he would turn our hearts back unto him again. It's the heart that the Holy Spirit deals with, that we would listen to this. I believe I covered it. Repent. True repentance is not turning from things, but turning unto the heart, turning unto the living God, the veil being removed, and we beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord face to face, and are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. All right? So there it is, the vine-branch relationship, the relationship that we have been brought into. Our life is above, though the vessel is still on the earth. Okay? Now let's continue with each notes here. That passage that we were looking at originally, 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 17, it's verse 17 I want us to look at. And before we look at that, I'll just read it and then read another verse, verse 17. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Okay, here's 2 Corinthians 12:19. Basically, Paul is saying the exact same thing in chapter 12. He says it in chapter 2, he says it at the beginning, he says it at the end. Again, think of this verse, chapter 12, verse 19. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. We speak before God in Christ. And this is what he says. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. From here, before God in Christ, is for the edification of his body. Nothing less. The edification of his body. All right. Now, the terms that I just want to look at real briefly, well, I say briefly, are found in 2 Corinthians 2:17, and these are the terms. I'll go ahead and read it. But as of sincerity, that term of is Strong's number 1537. Of sincerity, but as of God, that of is the exact same term, Strong's 1537. In the sight of, and that's Strong's number 2713, if you're looking at it in the Nesoalan 27th edition, or it's Strong's number 2714, if you're looking at it in the Scrivener's, forgive my pronunciation on both these, Textus Receptus, okay? In the sight of God, in Christ, speak we. That in is Strong's number 1722, N, and in Christ speak we. All right. There are the exact same word. These are the exact same words where in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, towards the end, Paul says, again, think ye that unto you we excuse ourselves before God. Before is that exact same word as in the sight of. Before and in the sight of is the exact same word. God, in Christ, we speak. Speak we speak. The exact same terms are there, okay? Now, I want us just to go ahead and look at some of those terms. And all I did, is nothing special. This is what you would call just viewing the information, you know, that we could get a better understanding of this testimony that's trying as best as it can to declare Christ. That we could see this testimony of Christ here, okay? In the sight of God, speak we in Christ, all right? That term of but as of sincerity in 2 Corinthians 2:17, but as of God, that term of is Strong's number 1537. It's, I think in the Greek it's pronounced ek. Ek or X. Two different pronunciations, but either will do. So this is the Strong's Greek Lexicon where I looked at this. It's basically a primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds. The point whence action or motion proceeds. Let me double check real quick. Because, nope, we hadn't covered that yet. I'm glad I looked at my notes again. We've not covered this yet. Please understand, this is so very important. A primary preposition denoting origin, the point which action or motion proceeds, the point whence action or motion proceeds. Jesus himself said, I did not do that. The Father in me doeth the work. Uh-oh. The vessel didn't do that. The treasure did that. The life in the vessel did that. We've been brought into that exact, that very exact same relationship via the cross, because of the cross, via new birth. We've been brought into this exact same fellowship, the fellowship of life, the fellowship of the Father and of the Son. What John said in his epistle. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, that you may have fellowship with us, because our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. Okay? The primary preposition denoting the origin. Here is the origin. When the heart is turned to the Lord, the veil is removed. And here is the origin from whence we speak, from whence we do. Primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds. From here, we live in Christ. We don't live on the earth, we live in Christ. Yes, we're on the earth, but we live in Christ. See? The origin. From whence do you come? That's the big question. From whence do you come? If your heart is turned from the Lord, you are not walking in purpose. You're walking on the earth. But your life is in Christ. Your life is hid with God in Christ. Your life is in Christ. Okay? Set your affection then on him who is above. Set your mind, set your affection, turn your heart. Turn your heart unto the Lord that the veil would be removed. And you, like Jacob, would say, God was in this place and I knew it not. Surely this is the house of the Lord, the house of God. Bethel. All right. Also, John, I think it's John 14:20. Let's take a look real quick. This is beautiful. John, let's find it. 14:20. At that day you shall know. What day? At that day, at the day when the day dawns, when the morning breaks, when the light appears, the revelation of Jesus Christ, the appearing of Christ, the appearing of the light of the life. He is the life. He is also the light of that very life. Okay? At that day, when Christ appears, when Christ is revealed, Christ who is the day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. At that day you will know, I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Brought into that very exact same relationship, the fellowship of life, the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Okay, going on. Strong's Greek Lexicon. And then it said, from. It was another definition. So then a primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds. Now, this is the online Bible Greek lexicon. It says basically the same thing. A primary preposition denoting origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds. And it's The first definitions are out of, from, by. Out of, from, by. Okay? Now, here's the other phrase. In the sight of or before. Okay, that's Strong's number 2713 in the Nesoalan, or Strong's number 2714 in the Textus Receptus, Scrivener's Textus Receptus. All right, I want to just look at those two terms right there. All right, in the sight of or before, let's look at Strong's number 2713. It's Catenanti, I think. It's, now listen to this, and we'll look at some verses where it's found. Directly opposite, translated into the English as before, over, against. Alright, directly opposite, and we can think of instantly of motive. No, don't think of it that way. This is, we'll see it within context in these verse, in some verses where it shows up. Alright, and then also in the Online Bible Greek Lexicon for that 2713, Strong's number 2713, Katenanti, it's over against, metaphorically before one, that is he being judge. Okay, now look, here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, there are 5 occurrences of this word in the New Testament, of Strong's number 2713, and I'll just read them to you. And saith unto them, go your way unto the village. This is Jesus speaking. Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you are entered it into it, and you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. Go your way into the village over against you. There's that word against. 2713. Right. Here's, that was Mark 11:2. Now this is Mark 12:41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. Okay. And beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. Sat over against. There it is again, 27:13. This is Mark 13:3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives over against the temple, Peter and James and John and Andrew asked him privately. This is Luke 19:30, saying, go ye into the village over against you, over against 27:13 you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. This is Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Okay? So, even those verses right there, it's not in our colloquialism. It's not the against we are thinking of, like someone is against something else. No, it's kind of like this. Here is the pen, here's the cap to the pen. It is over against the pen. All right? Going on. Now, I like it, Romans 4:17, how it said that. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before, that's the same word, 27:13, over against him whom he believed. Okay, so we know Abraham is not against God. All right, so now let's look at that Strong's number 2714 as it appears in the Scrivener's Textus Receptus. All right. Catenopion. That's probably a better pronunciation. Directly, this is how it reads, directly in front of. This is a Strong's Greek lexicon definition. Directly in front of. Directly in front of. Translated into the English is before the presence of, in the sight of. Okay? Here is the Online Bible Greek lexicon. For that same 2714, Strong's number 2714, Catenopion. Over against, there it is again, over against, before the face of, before the presence of, in the sight of, before. Metamorphically, I think that's the pronunciation of that word, as a metaphor, having one, as it were, before the eyes, before one as witness, before God as judge. Okay? I just really want us to see. Oh, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, it appears 5 times in the New Testament, that Strong's number 27:14. These are the occurrences. This is 2 Corinthians 2:17, which we are looking at. We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In the sight. All right. 2 Corinthians 12:19, which we are also looking at. Again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? We speak before God in Christ. We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, dearly beloved, for your edifying. Ephesians 1:4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. The before is 27:14, Strong's number 27:14 again. Colossians 1:22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, before him, in his sight, 27:14 again. And Jude 1:24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, but okay, if you're born again, can you fall out of Christ? No. What can happen? Your heart can abide in a vain imagination. You are one place. You listen to this. You be one place. Your heart be some other place. Okay? That's how it can happen. Just like that. Your heart can be somewhere where you are not. You can be, listen to this, daydreaming in the day. Oh my gosh, listen to that. Daydreaming in the day, yet dreaming. What about this verse? Ye are children of the day, not of the night, nor of the darkness. Ye are children of the day. Don't daydream. Awake, O sleeper, arise, and Christ shall give you light. Awake. Okay? Let the day dawn in your heart. No more blind, but seeing. Okay. Keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence. There it is again. Presence, 27:14. Before the face of, the presence of, his glory with exceeding joy. And I think we may have looked at that verse in Jude, so I won't go too much in detail into it. All right. So that's that term, 27:13 and 27:14. All right, now I want to look at another term here, and it is in, the Greek word en, or x, depending on how you're pronouncing it, Strong's number 1722, okay? Here we go. But as... it's N, E-N, it's just E-N. I'm sorry, I looked at the wrong Greek word on my interlinear. All right, it's N, E-N, all right. But as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, in N, Christ, speak we. Speak we in Christ, all right. This is a primary preposition denoting fixed position, in place, time, or state. In a fixed position, in place, time, or state. Denoting, primary preposition denoting a fixed position in state, in place, time, or state. Fixed, immovable. Why? Because Christ is immovable. You could not be in Christ except he be in you. You cannot be in Christ except he be in you. If you are born again, he is in you. Okay? by virtue of him being in you, you are in him. All right? And it goes on, and by implication, instrumentality, medially or constructively, comma, that is a relation of rest. A relation of rest. Here it is. The relationship of rest. Here is your rest. Here is where your soul finds its rest. Here is where your soul, if you will, goes, ah, I've arrived. It's abiding here. It's continuing here. It's the heart turning that the veil would be removed in Christ having his appearing. Christ appearing in that very soul. Okay, this is rest. Everywhere outside of Christ, there is no rest. Listen to this verse. All ye who labor and are heavy laden, come unto me and I will give you rest. You will find rest for your souls. It's right there. And we may have covered that already in a class, and if not, that's just a taste if we haven't. Okay. All right. And then the online Bible Greek lexicon for that term in, Strong's number 1722, it basically says the same thing, except it also adds in, by, with, etc. Okay, but it's a relation of rest, a fixed position in place, time, or state. Your state of being. Your being is in Christ. Okay, now the last one that I want to look at as far as those terms go, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, in Christ, speak we speak, is Strong's number 2980. Laleo is a Greek term. Forgive me for my pronunciation once again. In the Strong's Greek lexicon, it means basically to talk, that is, utter words. Translated into English as preach, say, speak, talk, tell, utter. I like that. Preach. Here. Those whose hearts are turned, from here they preach. From here they declare. From here they speak. From in Christ. From nowhere else. They are sincere. They are in sincerity. They are of God. In the sight of God they are speaking. In the sight of God, they speak what they see as a witness, the testimony and the witness. They declare the testimony. They declare the witness of what they have just seen. Okay? It is all found in here. It is all found when the heart turns to the Lord. The veil is removed. And listen to this. You could actually say that the angels, the cherubim on the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, cherubims were, where is that word? Over against one another. They were right there, face to face. Okay, and I just thought about that right now. Okay. Once again, Laleo, Strong's number 2980. This is the online Bible Greek lexicon. All right. To speak, to use the tongue or the faculty of speech. See, Acts 26:16. I constitute thee a minister of this that thou hast seen, and of that which thou wilt continue to see. Of this thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. A minister, a witness of that which he has seen. Paul declared, preached. He also used the faculty of writing, right? The medium of writing, not just sound being heard, but writing as well. Writing. We read one of his letters right now. 2 Corinthians is what we're reading. This is he wrote. He was declaring that which he saw in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay? John on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord tells him, write that which thou seest and that which thou will continue to see. It's the exact same thing that he told Paul. This thy seeing me, and thy seeing me hereafter. All right. Going on with the online Bible Greek lexicon, Laleo, Strong's number 2980. to utter articulate sounds, to talk, to use words in order to declare one's mind. To use words in order to declare one's mind, the mind of God, which is Christ Jesus, his Son, the mind of Christ, okay? To disclose one's thoughts. I love this, how these original terms just wrap up everything around Christ to speak. It just wraps it so fully, and Paul, I mean, by the Holy Spirit, chose these words to use, these actual terms to write down, because these would fully, as best as they could, communicate the mind of God, the thought of God, the mind of Christ. Okay? All right. So we've looked at those. And I want us to look also in the sight of God, speak we in Christ, before the face of God. Beautiful. I want us to look at Moses, the veil, and the turning of the heart. This is basically 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I've got a passage. It's from verse 1 to verse 18. And I will read a little bit of here. No, it's a lot to read. Verse 3, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. The Lord wrote the Ten Commandments. It was the testimony of Christ. It was written, engraven on stone, cold stone, and he presented it to the people. Right? Presented the testimony of his Son to the people. Here, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Now, the Lord writes his very image that he testified of upon the tables of our heart. The tables of our heart. How? When? When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed, and we bear his image. No longer bearing the image of humanity, of the corruptible, but bearing the image of Christ, the incorruptible seed. All right. Then it goes on, verse 11, for if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. What is that which remaineth? That which remaineth is him. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I, the vessel, live, yet not I, the life of the vessel, but Christ liveth in me. Christ is the one who remains. Christ is the one who remains. Jacob, in another place, where he wrestled with the angel till the breaking of day, all this is significant. And he said something like, my life is undone, for I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Look up that term, preserved, in your Strong's or in your other lexicons. Look up that term, preserved, because it means snatched away in a good or bad sense. And I'll just throw this out there. We may cover it in another class. Snatched away in a good or bad sense. Well, in a bad sense, that which I thought was my life was snatched away. I don't remain anymore. I am snatched away, taken out of the picture. Snatched away in a good sense would be Christ, who is my life, is preserved. My true life, who is Christ, remains. The false is taken away. Behold, the new is come. All things are passed away. Behold, the new is come. Okay? The new things of the creation of God. The new of the creation of God. All right? Now, where was I? For if that which was done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. See, the testimony was glorious. The law was glorious. All these things of the Old Testament, of the Old Covenant, were glorious. Why? Because they declared a substance. They could not produce the substance. They could not give the substance. They could only declare. They were like a picture of a person. as detailed as that picture was, with all the information that that picture provided, like a driver's license, it was not the substance. But the picture was glorious because it declared the substance, Christ Himself. But when the substance appears, the more glorious remains. Okay? Verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, such expectation to behold this substance, we use great plainness of speech. Plainness of speech, as clear and as plain as we could possibly, not enveloping it in something mysterious that only a few... No. This is the purpose for the soul. We use great plainness of speech, declaring to you the mystery of God, which is Christ Himself. The mystery of God, when they were in the Old Testament, looking at the scriptures. Oh, wow, what does this mean? What is this? What mystery is this? It was Christ Himself being declared of the Father, being testified of the Father, but a mystery to the carnal mind, to the religious mind of man. Okay? Mystery to the natural man. All right. Seeing then that we have such hope, such an expectation, the beholding of Christ, we use great plainness of speech. Verse 15. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. We're not like Moses, which put a veil over his face. Okay? See, here's the difference, and I may have covered this. Forgive me if I've already covered it. Here's the difference. When Moses went up to the mount to speak with God, he had no veil. He spoke to God face to face. All right? When he came down to the people, he put a veil over his face. Paul is saying, we're not like Moses. We don't have a veil over our face. We speak clearly, plainly, that which we are beholding before the Lord. That which we are beholding in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In the sight of God, before the face of God, the glory of the Lord found in the face of Jesus Christ. Here we continue. Here we remain. And from here we speak. We declare. We publish. From here. From here. As long as we're here, it is life. As long as our hearts are abiding, as long as our hearts are turned and the veil is removed, it is life. The second our heart turns from the Lord unto something else, from the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ unto something less, then it is death. You either minister life or you minister death. If your heart is not turned to behold the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, your heart is turned towards death, the ministration of death and condemnation. But if your heart is turned, then it is the administration of life, light, glory, the face of Jesus Christ, all found in the face of Jesus Christ. Okay, let's continue reading. Not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away, not taken away, in the reading of the Old Testament. When they read the Old Testament, when they read the Scriptures, there's a veil there. Oh, look, they took a lamb in Exodus and they put the blood on the door. They killed the lamb and they put the blood on the door. Wow, what a neat thing, a lamb. When all the time God is declaring, is testifying of His Son, the true lamb, the true vine, whose blood is powerful. Okay? Not the blood of bulls and goats, but the blood of Christ Himself, which is powerful, okay? Alright, going on. The same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. There is no veil in Christ. The veil is upon our hearts. There is no veil upon Him. Right? When He was crucified, when He died upon the cross, when He hung in the crucifixion and died, even naturally, the veil of the temple was rent in two. It was just torn in two. The veil, which is His body, His flesh, it was rent. Okay, there is no veil in Christ. Verse 15, but even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, when the heart shall finally turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all in Christ with unveiled face, whose hearts are turned unto the Lord, we all with open face, there it is, open face, an unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. From the glory of the testimony to the glory of the substance, Christ himself, of which the testimony of the scriptures testified. All right. The image of Christ written from without. John 5:39. They are they which testify of me. The image of Christ written from without. It's the scriptures written from without. They are they that testify of me. Verses written from within by the appearing of Christ. We read it just a while ago. But we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And verses 1 through 3, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart, by the Spirit of the Lord, written from within by the appearing of Christ. We bear his image, the image of Christ written upon the hearts, so that the soul would bear his image. So that the soul would bear his image from glory to glory. 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, the risen Lord from heaven, the risen Lord himself, the risen Christ himself, bearing the image. If your heart is not turned to the Lord, first of all, you're not walking in purpose, and you're bearing your own image. That's the same thing that Jesus said when they asked him, should we pay taxes? He said, bring me a coin. They brought him a coin. Whose image is on it? Caesar's, the image of man. He said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's? Give unto God what is God's? The image of man is of no value to God. It is of great value to man. Right? Think about it. Would you like to have a million bullion in gold in your bank account? The image of man is valuable to man, but the image of Christ is valuable unto the Father. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, but give unto God what is God's, what is rightfully his, your soul. Turn that you may bear his image, no longer bearing the image of man, but bearing the image of Christ. Okay? To bear his image. And we're coming to a close here. We've got a couple minutes left. Reality and beholding. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We covered this a little bit in our previous class. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new has come. The way it reads, the new has come, is from the English Standard Version, the Good News Bible, the British edition. Good News Bible in English, the British edition, and the Revised Standard Version. I wrote these notes here. The division between the old that is passed away and the new that is come is the cross. Okay, let me read it again. The division between the old that is passed away and the new that is come is the cross. Now look at this. It's done. Christ crucified. When one died, all died. Therefore we thus judge that if one died for all were made to be dead. All died. It is a done deal, the finished work of the cross. Okay. Now then, if that is the case, then you may think, well, why do I act this way? Why do I think this way? Or why does brother or sister so-and-so act that way or think that way or do those things? Okay, here's it. Here's what it is. The realizing of this reality in our soul is our heart's beholding. In order for us to realize this reality in our soul, our hearts must behold. How do our hearts behold? When the hearts turn to the Lord, the veil is removed, and we behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, and are changed into that same image from glory to glory. We are now bearing the image of Christ, and it is made evident. Christ is revealed in us. He appears in us. The light of life appears in our soul, in our heart, and we begin to walk in the day. We begin to walk in the light. Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. I think I've got a little bit of time to read these. This is Revelation chapter 21, verses 5 through 7. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, there it is, write, from here, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Okay. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these from here I write. Here's from whence I write. Here's from whence I declare. Here's from whence I publish. Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Another couple of verses, just dealing with the heart. This is Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, forasmuch as this people draw near me, with their mouths and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Everything is toward me but the heart. When the heart turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. It doesn't matter what you say. For as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, or do, or this, it is a matter of the heart. Is your heart far from the Lord? Or is your heart turned unto the Lord and the veil being removed, and the veil removed off your heart? Okay? Matthew 15:7-9, this is basically Jesus quoting that passage in Isaiah. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, the religion of man. The commandments of men versus the testimony of Christ that the scriptures declare versus the commandments of God, which are the testimony of Jesus Christ, teaching everything but the testimony. Okay, why? Because their hearts are far from me. Their hearts are someplace else. So they declare death and condemnation. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, death and condemnation. That's what it is, death and condemnation. All right? And in vain they worship. If your heart is not turned to the Lord, think about this. Oh, wow, this is big. If your heart is not turned to the Lord, where the veil is being removed, and you are beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, the face of Jesus Christ, the light shining out of darkness, shining in your heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If your heart is not beholding Him, then you're probably worshiping the Lord in vain. Because you're out of purpose. You're not in purpose. Just turn your heart that it would be found in purpose. Cry out, Lord, turn my heart that it would be found in purpose. in the beholding of your Christ, in the beholding of your Messiah. And there is found true worship. There is found the worship of God. Okay? Mark 7, 6 through 9. He answered and said unto them, this is Jesus, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, which is the testimony of Jesus Christ, John 5:39, they are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that you may have life. Okay? Ye hold the tradition of men. Ye hold the tradition of men. Wow. Think about it. Just all the traditions that we hold to. Do this, don't do that. I'll just leave it right there. As the washing of pots and cups and many other things, such like things you do. And he said unto them, full well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition. That's pretty heavy. You reject the commandment of God that testifies of Jesus Christ, that would bring your heart, your soul into purpose, the purpose for which it was created, and yet you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your own tradition, and therefore not found in purpose. You would stay here and not in purpose, versus turning your heart and coming into purpose, beginning in purpose, and continuing in purpose as the Holy Spirit deals with a heart that it would continue, that it would remain before God, before the face of God, in the sight of God, in Christ Jesus. Right? And I'll just listen to this. Inward man renewed day by day. This is 2 Corinthians 4:15 through 16. And you can hear a lot about this. Oh, we need to just renew our minds. Or, oh, we need to be transformed and all these things. But the transformation, we read it. It is when our hearts turn to the Lord. It's that 2 Corinthians. Where is it? Transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Here it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We all, with open face, we all whose hearts have turned, there's a transformation. If you want to be transformed, that's where it's found. It's found when your soul is found in purpose and continues in purpose. There you are transformed. All right? Transformed into what? Into bearing His image. From glory to glory. No longer bearing the image of man, but bearing the image of Christ. All right? There you are transformed into that which the Lord hath done. You begin to walk in reality versus walking in the vain imagination of our hearts. Okay, this is the inward man being renewed day by day. 2 Corinthians 4:15 through 16. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Please understand, Paul speaks out of an understanding. Paul speaks out of wisdom. Paul speaks out of understanding. Paul speaks out of knowledge because his heart is turned unto the Lord. He is beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, and he is being changed into that same image. The light is shining, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ is shining in his heart because his heart is turned to behold Christ. The inward man is renewed day by day. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 1 through 5. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day, when the light appears, when Christ is revealed, when the light of life appears in our heart, we are renewed. But we are renewed day by day. Day by day. The question is, for our hearts, has the day appeared in our heart? Has the morning dawned in our heart? Yes, we are children of the day. We have been brought into the day, but are we daydreaming, asleep in the day, blind to the light? So, that's that. From here, when brother, sister, when our hearts turn to the Lord, we will abide in Christ and we will declare from whence our life is. Our life is Christ. Our life is risen. And we will declare, we will publish, we will make known from here, from Christ. We will speak in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We will speak, we will preach, we will teach, we will publish the origin. It's beautiful the way it said it. Primary preposition denoting the origin, the point whence action or motion proceeds. From here, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. May the Lord by His Spirit continue to turn our hearts unto Him, that our hearts would turn unto Him, that the veil would be removed, and that we would walk in purpose, that we would come to rest in the purpose for which our soul was created, the beholding of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And with that, I'll end. And amen. I hope this has been a good class, and may the Lord continually turn our hearts back into Him again. Amen.